When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Woo, woo, woo! B-A-N-G-E-R. Banger, banger, banger.
Love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I get another amen? Amen.
Mitch took his vest off for us.
I did.
Oh, it's a party now.
It's warm in the in the fan studios powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. I do have another quarter zip underneath the warm.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So many layers. How many layers are you wearing?
Just a t-shirt now.
Oh, no, you
want,
undershirt?
No. Hold on.
No undershirt?
Somebody keep talking.
All right.
Just want to make
this
sure.
Hey, this is the Mason Crosby Show. This is live from 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and Mitch Nellis, Thunder Nellis, is wearing a cutoff sleeveless t-shirt on the
out,
radio
bro.
Right now.
Sun's out.
Those guns are out.
Is that what you're hooping? Is that what you're playing?
What a baller.
That is what I do not wear sleeves when I hoop.
Okay.
So,
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
Do you go no deodorant just so like whenever you're defending, it's just nasty?
I'll actually wear pants sometimes, like Adidas pants. I'll wear
sweaty
pants, but no sleeves.
Mm.
I cannot do sleeves when I play, but
yeah, I don't want to be
need the range of motion.
That's right.
I don't understand the NBA guys that wear sleeves like Portis wears like the
but it's
the
so
white
skin
undershirt
tight that I think that like it doesn't feel like it's a drag.
Yeah,
like it's not dragging on your momentum.
I don't know.
All right, well,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about it either. Great job bringing us back, Mason. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I had to
there was a costume change. I mean, he's Mason Crosby. I'm Mitch Nellis. Tommy Wirtz on the other side of the glass. And we'll see if this man has recovered from his 47-day trip to Las Vegas. Jim Ozarski from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joins us now. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, I'm good. Yeah, that was a long time to be out there, that's for sure.
That is. Last year when you went, when they lost right away, I assume you came back right away. But now all of a sudden you had like three extra full days, I feel like, in Vegas, just to like do your thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, last year I think they were there for 30-ish hours, something like that. I mean, it was clearly too short. And I think the league realized, okay, maybe the competition wasn't that great, right, because of the time. And then, yeah, they didn't want to compete against the NFL, so suddenly Sunday and Monday are just sort of there. And that's a long time to be in Las Vegas for work. I do enjoy Vegas in the off seasons, but you're kind of okay. Well, what are we doing here?
So, what do you, it's Mason Crosby, and I appreciate you coming on. What did you feel about the NBA Cup, like the fanfare, all the stuff around it? Do you feel like the the brand of it all is growing, and was it buzzing there in Vegas? Or just tell everybody what it was like out there in Vegas for this championship.
Yeah. So it's interesting, Mason. I think the players have started to buy in, and I think the players were excited to be there and to win something. I mean, of course, you know, coming home with an extra $500,000.
Yeah, that's nothing to scoff at there.
That is nothing to scoff at all. But I don't think it was just about that. I do think they were legitimately excited, all players, not just the Bucks, about, you know, winning this tournament, hoisting a trophy. You know, Bobby Portis is very excited to get another banner in Fiserv Forum. But now in terms of the atmosphere, guys, though, it's tough. I mean, it was an NFL Monday in Vegas. You know, the Raiders were playing. You know, Bruno Mars was coming in. So a lot of people around town thought, hey, are all these people here because Bruno's playing?
Just a lot of tickets purchased for other things. Like,
yeah. So, like, people were in the arena. But in terms of a buzz, definitely when I was walking around and other peers, I don't think the NBA was top of mind, you know?
Okay.
And it is only year two. Can that build? I don't know. But even Adam Silver spoke to some reporters while he was there and even said, I don't know if this is the place long term. So, you know, I think the games were fine. The competition was high. But in terms of the event style of it, Mason, you know, I would say it was a low-level Vegas event.
Okay, so you think, so were there a lot of, like, Bucks and Thunder fans, or was it just basketball fans and just, like, people in general? Is that kind of what the vibe was there?
Yeah, I for sure. And look, there were individual.
It's hard to plan, right? Like, you have to plan week of, like, if you get in.
Right. It's a short turnaround. You know, basically, if you want to go, you basically have to decide you're going to go regardless of the team, right?
Yeah, you're just going to Vegas.
Did it work out for Atlanta fans, though? Because there were a number of Falcons fans who were already planning on being in town, right?
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, the Hawks definitely had fans there. I mean, I would say that the counting of Giannis's 10 free throws or 10-second free throws is probably the loudest it got at times in the semifinal game, because there were a lot of Falcons fans who were already in town, or, you know, speaking to the writer from Atlanta, she had said some fans changed their flights because the tickets were really cheap. I think it was only like $25 to get in the Hawks game. But it's just the hotel and the flight to get there.
No doubt. So who impressed you through this cup, through the Emirates NBA Cup? Like, who on this Bucks team, you know, kind of made the move and impressed you down the stretch in all these games?
Yeah, you know, I'm obviously the chalk answer is to say, well, you know, Giannis is playing at this such a high level, but off of besides him, you know, I thought the way Andre Jackson Jr. played against Trae Young and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was really impressive. And I think it showed some growth from earlier this year, even, guys, where, you know, he couldn't stay on the floor a lot for two reasons. One, he was fouling quite a bit. And second, you know, he was a liability on offense. I mean, teams were putting their worst defender on him. And not only that, he wasn't being effective in any sort of way to mitigate that. And look, not the Thunder are a very good team. They've got players who maybe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is their top scorer, Jalen Williams after that. But look, they're 20-5 for a reason. You know, those are the guys can all play. And the fact that Andre was able to present a threat offensively as well was no small thing. So, Mason, I'll go there. I think, obviously, the chalk answer is Giannis, but I think Andre Jackson Jr. is showing, you know, he's going to find ways to stay on the floor longer.
I like that, for sure. Yeah, there were some young guys. Like, I think that's the opportunity here. And, again, with the you know, the extra games or like just kind of how it works with this cup. It's nice to see some guys step up, kind of define their role on these teams and go out there and execute at a high level. I mean, yes, Giannis was ridiculous. Portis was shooting out of his mind. Like the last like five games, I feel like he's been such a good role player. I love how he embraces that sixth man, comes on, does his stuff, you know, gets his shots. You know, I thought Dame, I think Dame is just really settled in and doing a great job. What's your kind of preview here coming in, you know, obviously coming off of a big win, the championship, the, you know, the travel, staying in Vegas. Now they have to go play the Cavs. Like, what's your thought about this upcoming matchup?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And that's, you know, the weird part about this cup is that, you know, there is a buildup, right, to this final if you get there. And you're playing for something, and yet you're playing for nothing. Like, there's
exactly.
You know, it doesn't count as a win or a loss. The stats don't count.
Cash, and then, oh, baby! By the way, straight cash, homie!
And yet, oh, by the way, like, I'm leaving for Cleveland in a couple hours, and so is the team, right? And that's a game that actually matters. And great question. Can the team refocus? I'm not trying to insinuate, you know, there's like hard partying going on. I think those days in pro sports, Mason, you know this.
Oh yeah.
Guys go out. It's not quite the same. Right. So I think they'll be ready to go. Cleveland, look, this Bucks team lost three times to Boston. They've lost twice to the Cavs. Cavs are top seed in the East right now, as we speak. It's an important game. You know, and I think it'll look some kind of way, let's be honest, is if they roll into Cleveland and get waxed, right? So I think there is a refocus level that needs to happen. But to your broader question, they are playing better basketball. I mean,
oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. And so do they have to win against Cleveland? No, of course not. But I think it would look really good if they were to come off beating the Thunder. And then you go into a really a tough place to play. The Cavs are 14-1 at Rocket Mortgage.
Wow.
If you can go in there and get that win.
Home court.
It says a lot. And I think it could slingshot them a little bit. Because, look, guys, look at the schedule. After this Cavs game, I don't know if the Bucks should lose again until well after the new year. Maybe when they go to Orlando, like January 9th or 10th. Like this. If they can
like
get
it.
This one.
Washington, Brooklyn, really Brooklyn. There's a lot of bad on that schedule.
Yes, for sure.
Jim Ozarski joining us on the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Follow Jim on Twitter. I like to say it. It's at Jim, ow, O-W. Then he's the czar, C-Z-A-R. And then you go skiing, Ozarski. It's Ozarski, but... Follow him. I'm doing it phonetically, so you
that
can follow
really,
along.
That
home.
Was really simple, yes.
Yeah, super simple, yeah. Yeah, perfect. At Jim Ozarski joining us. You should be following him because all things Bucks. And there's a bunch of pop culture on there, too. Jim's a big pop culture guy, too. So a lot of pop culture nuggets on his Twitter feed as well. But, Jim, back to something you mentioned about, like, that they didn't really, you know, what do you do to celebrate this? It doesn't even count as a win in the standings. And I know a lot was made of, like, that the cases of champagne were left. Like, they didn't pop bottles like the Lakers did last year. And then the Lakers lost 10 of their next 13 games after they won the cup. What does it say for the focus and the maturity of this team that they immediately said, job not done, that they immediately did not pop the bottles and they celebrated, but it was a muted celebration?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there is a maturity level there. I mean, I think as Damian Lillard said when he showed up, he's like, "Hey, man, I'm 34. I'm not 22. You know, like I've been to Vegas."
Yeah, exactly.
But now, in terms of winning, look, the core of the team has an actual NBA championship, and Lillard, for as much as important as this was for him, and I got something coming up on jsonline.com with that guy. It's like, you know, he's a top 75 player who, like, has never won anything.
Yeah.
And so you saw that, and that was important for him. But again, it's still the bigger picture, Mitch, to your point. Look, it's a championship. When they go in the Hall of Fame, when Giannis goes in the Hall of Fame, this is on the resume, right? But yeah, I think they know they want something bigger. But to your point, though, it's interesting you mentioned the Lakers. This event is so new that I think they look at the fact that LA just sort of crapped out after that. And they're just like, you know, we don't want that. So let's do different things, or at least the controllable things.
Yeah, I think it's a mindset direction. Probably of, you know, this is, it's a Tuesday. First off, it's like we are in the middle of a season.
Right.
Like, it's different than, and like you said, they saw the Lakers. There's a mindset we have to go and play the Cavs. Like, we have this schedule ahead of us. Like, we'll enjoy this. Yeah, we'll celebrate, do all that. But the optics, too, to everybody watching and other teams is like, this is a team to be taken seriously. They are not just, you know, excited and like just over the top about winning the NBA Cup, which is, I still think it's an awesome win, and I love the in-season cup, but it's like, all right, we handled our business. We took care of this. Now everyone needs to, you know, is on notice. They need to look at us as something, a contender, someone to be taken seriously. And I think Giannis probably led the way with that and said, like, we're not going to celebrate this like we won the NBA championship. Like, we got the job done. We did what we came to do. Now let's put everyone on notice.
I think so, Mason. And you know this. Like, it does start from your best players on down. And I think, and that goes to them winning this event, let's be honest. I mean, look, once they got to the point where that Orlando game, right, the quarterfinal, the extra home game, which this team wanted, it's like, all right, well, we're here. I just win the thing, right? It's competition.
For sure.
And at, yes, $500,000 is very nice, and the guys can make jokes. But once you get to it, I mean, even A.J. Green, where it's like 25% of his salary, kind of looked incredulously at us. He's like, I don't do this.
That's not what they're playing for.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so to your point, Mace, I think it was a statement win. Look, they know who they are. They know they're 14-11, which is not great. They know they started 2-8, and they earned that record. And they knew that their biggest win to date was against Houston. And no disrespect to the Rockets, but that was a couple weeks ago. Does anyone remember that game? No. So this is, you're right. They were able to do something on a national stage against arguably the best team in the league, and the best player played like it, and that trickled down. And you're right. I think it does. Look, guys, you're in a talk show. You're going to hear Giannis as an MVP far more often now than you did in the first 2 months of the season.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he got the recognition. I think we kind of talked about that. Like, does Giannis take that next step in the MVP discussion? With his performance, with winning this cup and all of that, I feel like now it's like his to lose. You know, if he just kind of stays steady with what he's doing, like, he is by far the most valuable player, in the league, and for sure on this Bucks team.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing, Mason, because the discourse around Giannis nationally is quite interesting. I mean, you remember my time covering you and the Packers and the NFL, and it was just something when I switched over to the NBA, I never quite understood. And look, let's stay in state, and let's keep it real. Like, Aaron Rodgers was never held to some sort of different standard because the Packers hadn't won a title in X amount of years. If he was the MVP, he was going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't matter. There was no sort of weird narrative of, well, the Packers can't get over the hump. The Packers haven't won, or whatever it may be. It was just the best player in the NFL wins the award. And the NBA, it's just such a different discourse that I still don't quite understand.
I think some of it might be like that an individual can somewhat take over a game in the NBA. So it's like, if that individual doesn't win a championship, or there's like a mindset that they're not taking over enough of the games to get their team to where they need to be, then they probably just have this. Yeah, there's this mindset like, well, obviously they're not the best player right now. Like, I don't know why, but that seems to be the case there in the NBA quite a bit.
I think that's part of it, for sure. But I generally, Mason, when I'm in some of these conversations, it just goes to, well, they, like, you can win an MVP without a title, but, you know, until you get there, you can't win any, like, it's almost like a you can't, or you're not allowed to win anymore if you're a terrible postseason
player. You got to get it back, yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange. And look, I understand to a point, but to me it was always like, this is a regular season award. Like, I don't understand how anything has to do. Look, guys get injured, teams, you know, other guys get it. Like, it's just such a variable type of thing once you get the playoffs, especially in basketball with so many series. I don't know. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, the individual part of it, I think, is, hey, if you are truly that great, shouldn't you impact your team in that kind of way? But, I mean, so Giannis has been sort of left on the outside looking in of late. But, look, his stats are one thing, but I think the impact that we saw in Oklahoma City, or at least nationally, everyone got to see. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, they're 14-11, but this guy, something looks different about him.
All right, before we let you go, I just want to ask, like, do you think this Bucks team has what it takes to win the NBA championship?
I mean, the ceiling is there. But let's put it that way, Mason. Outside of Boston, their ceiling is the highest in the East.
Okay.
I think their top end talent and where they could go is better than Cleveland. I think if you can beat Boston, that means you can beat anybody, in my opinion.
For sure.
But I don't know if they're going to be dominant. You know, I don't know if you're going to see them win by 25. And
it's going to be a tough road
kind of thing. Yeah. So it's going to be some work. And they have to play well. And I know that sounds weird to say. Cause like, oh, well, if you got, of course you got to play well. I think everyone knows what I mean. Like,
I get what you're saying.
Their margin for error is slimmer now than 4 years ago. Right. But you know, Mason, they can, if those three guys are healthy, which is, you know, it is what it is, but if they're healthy, yes, they can beat anybody in this league.
Awesome. Well, really appreciate you jumping on. Get some rest. Get yourself, recouped before you head over to Cleveland to keep chasing this team around. And we hope that they can get out there in Cleveland and get a big win against the Cavs.
Thanks for having me, guys. Welcome back. Welcome back to the state, Mason. It was good to talk to you.
Yeah, same. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Speak soon, guys.
Yep, that's Jim Ozarski, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Bucks beat reporter. Had the Packers beat before that, and just all around man about town. I know he's very involved in the music scene as well. His significant other works in the music business, so good. You know, always good to catch up. And
oh, yeah, he's great.
He knows his stuff, and he's not sugarcoating. But he's not. You know, I like that he's. To me, he feels like a traditional, like kind of like an old school journalist, where it's like he's covering the team. You know, he's kind of a fan, but he's not letting his fandom, like, he's not watching the team with green and purple colored glasses. Like, he is legit, like, calling it as he sees it.
Yeah, I like that. I like no nonsense, just straightforward, good answers that you'll give us the information that we need to, you know, to overreact or underreact to. I mean, exactly. That's our job, right? We got to overreact to everything now.
Yes, that's what we do here on radio.
Speaking he said of, they could win it all. Yes!
Put it in a press release. Jim Ozarski says the Bucks can win it all. When we come back, we are going to review yesterday's poll. We got to get today's poll up as well. And we'll talk about, we talked Bucks-Cavs tomorrow night, but Brian Windhorst had some talk, had some audio about Bucks as contenders. And then we'll keep it basketball. We'll touch on college basketball, a little college basketball corner coming up as well. Remember, coming up later in the show, Ask Mason Anything. So get those questions in. It's the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Put that number in your phone. You can ask a question to the Packers' all-time leading scorer, Mason Crosby, and he will answer your question live here on the air in the 10 o'clock hour.
Let's go.
We are the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. More basketball talk, and then, of course, we got to talk some Jordan Love and some Packers talk in the 10 o'clock hour as well. All that and more coming up next.